All right, it's December the 16th. It's the sixth night of Hanukkah. It's also Rosh Chodesh Teves, the first night of Rosh Chodesh Teves. And we have here the Chasheva Tamima alumni. And so this is a Hanukkah thought. This is new for this year for me. So I hope that you'll enjoy it as well. The Rabbi Feldman has been giving a series of workshop in Inyanei Hanukkah. It's a six-part series, and I have found many new chidushim in things that he said over the past few sessions. One of the things that he mentioned is that the Navi Haggai has a nevuah that's very relevant to Hanukkah. Now, how many of you have been through Haggai?
No.
Do you go through all Tanakh? And,
yeah.
Okay. So Haggai, everybody, when I said my drasha on Shabbos, I told them that when Rabbi Feldman said that there's a nevuah in Haggai that has to do with Hanukkah, so Friday night I went through the entire Sefer Haggai, which is of course 38 psukim. It's too profit. So Haggai has four nevuahs in his Sefer. The first one takes his nevuah is in the second year of Daryavesh, the son of Ahasuerus and Esther, who in his reign the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt. So, of course, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi are the last three Nevi'im, so they're at the very end of the age of Nevuah, which is at the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash. So Haggai's Nevuah, his first Nevuah is on Rosh Chodesh Elul, his second Nevuah is on Hashanah Rabbah, and his third and fourth Nevuahs are on the 24th of Kislev. So that's obviously very relevant to Hanukkah. If he had Nevuahs on Chaf Dalet Kislev, Erev Hanukkah, it must be that his Nevuah has what to do with Hanukkah. Now, Haggai is talking about the second Beis HaMikdash being rebuilt, and he's addressing who the main two, besides Ezra, of course, who led everybody up to build the second Beis HaMikdash, who were the two people who were primarily involved in the Binyan Beis HaMikdash besides Ezra? Any guesses? Well, not Haggai. Okay, that's good. I mean, he was a Navi, but he talks primarily to two people. He's addressing two people. One of them is Zerubbabel, as you know from Moses' sword. Ketz Bavel, Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel is a person's name, and his other name is Nehemiah. Ezra Nehemiah? Nehemiah is also Zerubbabel. And Zerubbabel is called Pachas Yehuda. He's considered to be the heir to the throne, even though there was no Malucha in the second Beis HaMikdash. But he's a descendant of David HaMelech, and he is the one who becomes the one who's in charge in the second Beis HaMikdash. Ezra was a Kohen. He wasn't from Yehuda, but Zerubbabel was from Nehemiah. He was from Yehuda, and the Kohen Gadol, his name is Yehoshua. Not Yehoshua, of course, in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, who was from Shevet Ephraim. This is Yehoshua Kohen Gadol. And those two, Zerubbabel and Yehoshua Kohen Gadol, the two people that spearhead the effort in rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash, besides Ezra. And Haggai is addressing the two of them and other people who were involved in the Binyan HaBayis. Now, you know that Bayis Sheni was built in two stages. In the time of the original, of the first Koresh and Daryavesh, in their day, which was before Achashverosh, they authorized the rebuilding, Koresh authorized the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. And you know that they went up to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and they laid the foundation, and then what happened? What's that? No, that was later. Okay. They started to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and then they were stopped. They were stopped because the people around Yerushalayim complained, and they sent word that they weren't happy about this, and that Klal Yisrael were bad people, etc. And they were stopped. They were stopped by Ahasuerus. Ahasuerus, who took over as king after Koresh and Daryavesh, he stopped it. He was a Rasha, and he stopped the building of the Beis HaMikdash. After his death, he was succeeded by the son of Esther, who was Daryavesh HaSheni, the second Daryavesh, and he reauthorized the building of the Beis HaMikdash, and it was built during his reign. The people who were there when the foundation was originally laid for the second Beis HaMikdash, many of them were very skeptical about the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. They felt, that, especially those who had been alive during the first Beis HaMikdash, and they saw the second Beis HaMikdash, they felt this is nothing. Compared to what the first Beis HaMikdash was, this is, it's small, we don't have any shlita, we don't have any power, we don't have any melech. The second Beis HaMikdash paled in comparison to the first Beis HaMikdash. They didn't have many of the things that the first Beis HaMikdash had. What was missing the second Beis HaMikdash that they had in the first Beis HaMikdash? Mm-hmm. What's that? Mm-hmm. And who did you say?
The Shekhinah.
The Shekhinah wasn't there. What else? What physical object did they not have?
They didn't have the Aron.
They didn't have the Urim V'Tumim, the cloth with the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They didn't have these things. The second Beis HaMikdash paled in comparison. So they felt very much like it was bad. And they were crying. When they were building the second Beis HaMikdash, they were crying. It says, V'cholam Baichim. They were crying because this is the Beis HaMikdash. They were used to the first Beis HaMikdash. And now this is what we're getting. So to them it was just wasn't enough. And it wasn't important. And so they were very upset about the second Beis HaMikdash. So Chagai's Nevuah is to tell them that, don't worry, it's going to be fine. The second Beis HaMikdash is going to be good. And one of the things that Chagai says, a famous pasuk that he says, is the famous pasuk Li HaKesef Li HaZahav Numa Hashem Tzvakai. So Hashem says, silver and gold are mine. If I want there to be silver and gold in the Beis HaMikdash, I'll make sure there is silver and gold in the Beis HaMikdash, even though you Klal Yisrael are poor. I'm going to make sure that the Beis HaMikdash is beautiful. And then the pasuk says, Gadol yeh kavod habayis hazeh ha'achar min harishon. The second Beis HaMikdash is going to be a greater kavod than the first Beis HaMikdash, Amar Hashem Tzvakos. The Gemara in Balvasra says, Tu pshatim. In what way was the second Beis HaMikdash greater? In what way was its kavod greater than the first Beis HaMikdash? Anybody know? There are two possibilities. One is in physical beauty, that it was more beautiful, because Hurdus had the, what? Go ahead. Yeah, well, he had, in addition to the extension of that, he also had marble put into the wall of the Beis HaMikdash so that it looked more beautiful. And in addition, the second Beis HaMikdash lasted 10 years longer than the first Beis HaMikdash. First Beis HaMikdash lasted 410 years. Second Beis HaMikdash lasted 420 years. So in that regard, it was greater. Gadol yekvod habayis hazeh acharon min harishon. It's not for now, but there is a Chassam Sofer, a famous Chassam Sofer that deals with the Lashon HaAchron, which is referring to the second Beis HaMikdash. It calls the second Beis HaMikdash Kvod HaBayis HaZeh HaAchron. Sounds like it's going to be the last one, Chas V'Shalom, but we know there's going to be a third one. So he deals with that Lashon Achron. But at any rate, that's what Chagai tells them. So he ensures them it's going to be a beautiful bayis, it's going to have kavod, it's going to be proper. And you don't have to worry about that they were crying, and they were afraid the kavod wasn't so great. Now, in Zechariah, his nevuah came a little bit after Chagai's nevuah. And in his nevuah, actually his first nevuah is actually in Cheshvan of that year, which is slightly before this nevuah of Chagai. And then later, his second nevuah comes later on in the year in Shvat. But at any rate, Zechariah, his nevuah in Perek Beis was what we read this past Shabbos. Neros to Zechariah is always the Haftarah of Shabbos Chanukah. When there's two Shabbos Chanukahs, it's the first one. But when there's only one Shabbos Chanukah, it's the only one that we read. It's Neros to Zechariah. It's his nevuah where he sees a menorah and he sees oil being squeezed out of olives and then the menorah being lit, and it's a nevuah about the second Beis HaMikdash. That's what he's misnabe about. So he's misnabe about that. He sees Yehoshua Kohen Gadol, and he sees how Yehoshua Kohen Gadol was. He seemed to be wearing not nice clothing, didn't seem to have a lot of kavod, and then he's told to dress him into chashavah clothing, and Yehoshua Kohen Gadol represents how the second Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt with all kinds of kavod. And then, at the very end of the Haftarah ends in Perek Dalad Pasuk Zayin. That's the last Pasuk of the Haftarah. But a few psukim later, three psukim later, it says, I'll read you the three psukim. This is right after the end of the Haftarah that we just read. It says, Vahidvar Hashem Elai Leimar. Zechariah says, the word of Hashem was to me saying, Yedei Zerubbabel Yistu Habayis Hazeh, the hands of Zerubbabel, meaning Nehemiah, they established the Yisoid, the foundation of this bayis, meaning however many years earlier it was at least 18 years earlier, that his hands had already established the foundation that was then stopped after they laid the foundation of the second Beis HaMikdash. V'yadav tevat sana, and his hands will finish the job also. V'yadata, and you'll know when he finishes the job, ki Hashem tzvokos shlachani aleichem, that Hashem tzvokos sent me to you. And then he says, in Perek Dalet Pasuk Yud, ki mi vaz liyoyim ketanos, who would baz from Lashon bizayon, who's going to degrade, who's going to denigrate the day of smallness, meaning all of you who were mevaza, who thought that the foundation of the second Beis HaMikdash, it looked like it was puny, it was small, it was insignificant, you were mevaza the day that we started building the second Beis HaMikdash, v'samchu, now you'll be happy, v'ra'u es ha'evan ha'bedil b'yad Zerubbabel, you'll see the hand, the stone of the bedil, which is the bedil is tin, but it's the stone that they used with a leveling stone. They wanted to see, make sure that when they were building, to make sure that everything was straight. They would hang a stone to make sure that it hung straight down. It was a way of telling whether the building was straight or not. It will be in the hands of Zerubbabel, Shiva Ela, seven thieves. Rashi explains it's going to grow seven times. It's going to expand seven times its current size. Eini Hashem, Hema Meshaitetim B'chol Ha'aretz, the eyes of Hashem, they are looking all over the land. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees everything and he can make everything happen, and it looks small now, he'll make it grow big. I mean, that's not going to be a problem. So, this Lashon, Ki mi vaz liyoyim ketanos, who is mevaza in the day of smallness? The day of smallness. So, as I said, Rashi, so I'll just read it. Rashi says it's referring to the Yesoid of the second Beis HaMikdash. Sheyusad Habayis, the device was the foundation was set. Asher Huktan ve'einehem, it was small in their eyes. Kamay Shenemar, like it says in Ezra, that they were crying over the Yesoid Habayis. So, the Marsha in Hulin, on Daf Nun Hei, involved in a different sugi over there, nothing to do with the second Beis HaMikdash, nothing to do with anything that's relevant to us. He's involved in the Tumah and Tara sugi over there. And he says over there, I was learning this sugya on Hanukkah. And so, since I was learning it on Hanukkah, I wanted to use this to answer the Beis Yosef's Kasha. You know the famous Kasha, why is Hanukkah 8 days, not 7 days? They had enough oil for one day. We're not going to go there tonight. But he says, I want to use this sugya in the Gemara to answer that question. And he goes on to answer that question based on that sugya over there. In the middle of that discussion, the Marsha quotes this pasuk, Ki mi vaz liyoyim ketanos, who will degrade the short days, the small days? And he says, this is a remez to Hanukkah. Because Hanukkah always takes place in the time of year when the days are the shortest and the nights are the longest. Zot Marsha, this pasuk, Ki mi vaz liyoyim ketanos, who will be mevaza? Who is going to denigrate the small days? Is a reference to Hanukkah. It's Zechariah Dalet Pasuk Yud. Meaning that you might think, what could be possibly be important about the days of late Kislev and early Tevis? The days of late Kislev and early Tevis, these days are short. They can't possibly be important days. When is an important day? A long day. Where it's a long day, that's an important day. Maybe in the summertime, Shavuos, those days are very long when you come to the summertime. You know how late Shavuos starts. Those are long days. That's an important day. But a short day, like in the middle of the winter, they're not significant. Ki mi vaz liyam ketanos. Who's going to be mevaz of the small days? It's like the Marshach Hanukkah is the yontif that tells us, don't be mevaz of the small days. Don't degrade the small days. Now the Marsha doesn't go any further. But we see from the Marsha an important thing, fascinating thing, that you see a connection between Hanukkah and the rebuilding of the second Beis HaMikdash. Because it's the same Pasuk. The same Pasuk that is used, that Pasuk Shat means they were mevaza the second Beis HaMikdash because it was so small and insignificant, and then it grew and became a significant chashlo thing. Kimi vazlim kitanas. So too, the same pasuk is used regarding Chanukah. Don't be mevaza the small days of Chanukah. That's from the Marsha. So what I'd like to do then is show you the connection between the second Beis HaMikdash and Chanukah. Obviously, Chanukah took place during the second Beis HaMikdash. But to me, the lima to take out of this pasuk and Chanukah. The second Beis HaMikdash, even after this pasuk happened, even after it miraculously grew and it was seven times larger than the original Yisoy, the original foundation, and now it became a beautiful binyan and the kavod was even greater than the first Beis HaMikdash in certain ways, even so, it was not like the first Beis HaMikdash in many ways. In many ways, it was much less. Besides missing all the things that the Mishnah says were missing, there was no nevuah in the second Beis HaMikdash. Besides, like we mentioned before, the Shechina and the Aron, etc. But the second Beis HaMikdash also, Klal Yisrael were under the Shlita, under the rule, under the reign of foreign kings. First, Paras, the Persians, and then Yavan, later on, Edom ruled Klal Yisrael, even before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Of the 420 years that it stood, the Gemara says for most of those years, we were under someone else's control. Plus, the area that Klal Yisrael settled in Eretz Yisrael was much smaller in the second Beis HaMikdash than in the first. First Beis HaMikdash, Klal Yisrael were in control of most of the modern state of Israel, except for the south. That was Edom. Except for that, the rest of it, until Beersheba, was owned by Klal Yisrael. And also, they owned much more land to the east, into Jordan, of course, across the Yarden. They owned most of Syria, where Syria is today, and all of Lebanon is today. All that area was part of the country of Eretz Yisrael in the first Beis HaMikdash. Plus, in the time of Shlomo HaMelech, he had control over the whole world. In the second Beis HaMikdash, the only area that Klal Yisrael really lived in was what is today called the West Bank. That's the area. The area right around Yerushalayim. A little bit further north, a little further south, but that was the main area that Klal Yisrael lived in. They didn't really live anywhere else. And the Kedusha that they gave the land was only that area. And with other areas, they didn't make Kadosh because they didn't really live in the other areas. It was a very small yishuv compared to the first Beis HaMikdash. So the second Beis HaMikdash was not the same thing as the first. And it was something that those who had seen the first Beis HaMikdash, they felt it. And those who knew what the first Beis HaMikdash was like, they understood this was not as great as the first. They also realized that Nistavra, it was not going to last because it couldn't be. It wasn't the third Beis HaMikdash. It wasn't what we're waiting for. Mashiach had not come. We didn't have control. We weren't able to do everything we wanted to do. And it was paled in comparison. When the Misyavnim took over Eretz Yisrael, and they took over the Beis HaMikdash, and they were metame the Beis HaMikdash. The Misyavnim, as you know, were the Jews who had assimilated with the Greeks. They were the real enemy on Purim. On Chanukah. It wasn't the Greeks themselves. It was really the Misyavnim, the Jews who had become part of the Greek nation. They were supported by the Yavanim. The Yavani army supported them, but they were the ones who were really fighting Klal Yisrael, fighting the Chaverim, fighting the Talmidei Chachamim. When that happened, it seemed to be just a progression. That second Beis HaMikdash wasn't so great anyway. The Talmidei Chachamim were losing control. Klal Yisrael were essentially slowly but surely drifting away from Torah, and now they were becoming more and more part of the Greek culture. It was a progression. When the Chashmonaim led the fight against the Misyavnim, as you know from any history that you've gone through for Chanukah, it wasn't a sudden victory. Even though we say it was Rabim b'Anaatim, Tmei b'Atzaharim, Sham b'Atzadikim, but it wasn't a sudden victory. It was a slow but sure progression where the Maccabim, the Chashmonaim, led and slowly but surely beat off the Nisyavnim and the Yavanim. And there were a series of wars that went back and forth a little bit, and they eventually got back the Beis HaMikdash, and they were able to rededicate it in the Chanukah Sabayis, Chanukah Samizbeach. The reason why there had to be a nace of the menorah is because they really did not realize that they were supposed to make it into a yontif. It wasn't clear that they should make Hanukkah into a yontif. Yes, they won, but they didn't win with this resounding, all of a sudden, v'nahafaychu that you have on Purim. With Purim, it was so sudden, the immediate turnaround, that just from literally 1 minute to the next, Haman was on top, Mordechai's on top. It was Klal Yisrael is scared for their lives, their enemies are scared for their lives. It was so sudden, it was obvious that there was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Yad here, and that Klal Yisrael had to remember what happened. Even though it was a nes nister, but it was clearly a nes. With Hanukkah, it wasn't so obvious. The whole progression was much more gradual and wasn't so obvious. The next year, after the victory, that's when the nes of the Neros happened, where they lit the Neros and they only had one thing of oil, and it lasted 8 days. It was the following year. And the battles weren't over yet. Even after that, there were still more battles. But that's what showed Klal Yisrael, Kadosh Baruch Hu made such a nes, and it, not only was it a nes nigla, but it was a nes nigla at a time where there was no nevuah, where they didn't have the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah anymore, or it would have seemed like, we're not zoche for an ace like this, and they had an ace like that, that proved to them that they should make it into a yontif, and that's what they did. The Hanukkah, the fact that it is a yontif, it's a yontif of something which we wouldn't have necessarily thought to make into a yontif, and you make it into a yontif. It's a yontif of kimi baz liyon ketanas, like the Marsha says. It's a yontif on something which you would have thought is not so important. It's not so chashuv. Yeah, okay. We won the war, you know. But it's not such a chashuv a thing. You have to make a yontif out of it. Kimi baz liyon ketanas. Don't be mavaza the yon ketanas. Don't be mavaza the small days. Don't be mavaza the insignificant days. It's a yontif that says that even something that appears insignificant, but it can be very, very meaningful, and you make it into a yontif. The neres themselves that we light, so we light neres, they're very small, what we light. You light in the window, you light very small, they're very small neres. Even the eighth night, how much light do they give? Ein lanu rishus leishtamish b'hen el l'roysam b'ovad. They're not so easy to be mishtamish with. They don't give off that much light. Even in a day when there's not that much, when there's no electricity, but a typical torch that lit a room was a lot more than just a small Hanukkah menorah. It's not that much. But we light it, and those small lights are meant to be a siman for the yontif. What Hanukkah is one of the limudim of Hanukkah is that there are things that seem insignificant, and they are meant to be, they're very, very powerful, and they're meant to be taken seriously, and they can be a tremendous chizuk in serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let me give you a few examples. What about tefillah? So tefillah, we daven. And we daven, and anybody who's davened for something that is very important to them, and is not so easy to have, takes a long time to happen. You can be daven for someone who's chas v'shalom ill to become better. You can daven for a shidduch. You can daven for someone to have children. You can daven for someone to do tshuva. You can daven for someone to have parnasa. These are things that don't just happen suddenly. These are things that take time. They take effort. We can daven that we do well on a test. We can daven that we have an easy drive to work. We can daven for those things also, but those things are very immediate. But when we daven for something that is not immediate, so what's the challenge of that tefillah? The challenge is to be mispalo, and be mispalo, and be mispalo every day. And to every day to be mispalo more. And to not lose our conviction that we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is listening. And we know every day every day a little bit. The way I always envision it with tefillah is that it's not so much will I cry my heart out right now. I look at it as that I have to daven now, and I daven with emotion, and then daven again tomorrow, and tomorrow, and tomorrow. And there's a gauge, there's a cup, whatever symbolism you want to use. But a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time. When it gets full, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it happen. It's slowly but surely, slowly but surely. These things that I mentioned, they take time. And the a little bit at a time makes it happen. But it has to be consistent all the time. That's the ki mi baz l'yayim katanas. Don't be mabaz of the little thing. Kol pruta pruta mitzdar v'cheshven gadol. Every penny, you add another one, add another one, another one, it makes into a big cheshven. It makes into a huge amount. A little bit at a time, a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time. That's what tefillah really is. That's what it's meant to be. It's not meant to be that, oh, right now I make myself have this incredible tefillah, and now all my tefillahs are going to be answered. It doesn't work that way. It's slowly but surely chipping away, chipping away, chipping away. It's true of every Yetzirah that we have. A person has a Yetzirah, Taiva, whatever it is that we struggle with, and we all struggle. Everybody struggles. Whatever struggle each one of you has, everybody struggles. Everybody has different struggles, but everybody struggles. There's no person that's immune to struggling. Everybody struggles. And the way to defeat a Yetzer Hara is also slowly but surely, consistently, every day, chipping away a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. Two steps forward, one step back. Two steps forward, one step back. That's the way to do it. Kimi baz liyan ketanis. Don't be mavaz of the little things. A little bit at a time, a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time. That's how to battle the Yetzer Hara. And that's the inyan of Hanukkah as well. Overall, that's also how Mashiach is going to come. Mashiach is not going to come because of some... all of a sudden, we're just going to do something and it's going to happen. When it happens, it may happen suddenly, but it's going to be the result of slowly but surely chipping away, chipping away, chipping away, chipping away. By doing day in and day out, being Eved Hashem properly, doing what we need to do, by doing chasadim properly, by working on our midas, working on kina, not having jealousy, working on kas, controlling our anger, working on davening properly, all these things, slowly but surely, a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time. Interpersonal relationships are so difficult. They're so complicated. The older I get, the more I see that it is just such a difficult thing. And no one's immune from that either. Everybody has issues with interpersonal relationships, whether it's family, close friends, neighbors, coworkers. It's all the time. Students, teachers, it's all the time. And it's the same thing. These things don't get solved with a sudden burst. They get solved by slowly but surely working on the relationship, slowly but surely improving it, slowly but surely looking for ways to make a better impression, slowly but surely looking for ways to show the person that I mean well, that I'm not out to get them, that I didn't mean to hurt them that time, etc., etc., etc. Slowly but surely, a gift here, a kind word there, etc. That's how relationships are built as well, and repaired. All these things, kimivaz liyan ketanis. It seems to me that's what the Maharsha is telling us, that this pasuk is talking about with Hanukkah, that it is a yantif that is meant to focus us on the small things, on the little things, and do things in a methodical, systematic, consistent way, slowly but surely, in order to reach that great Or HaGadol, to the great light that is the result of Hanukkah doing it properly. I have to run.